Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab. Adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC with our annual end-of-year news quiz. Were you paying attention in 2008? Get three in a row right, and you'll win our limited edition, now a collector's item prize, The Brian Lehrer Show, 30 Issues in 30 Days, 2008, Ecotote. By the way, I should have mentioned during the request for money that if you want this collector's item, our 2008 30 Issues in 30 Days bag, it's available as a thank you gift for a $75 pledge. But enough said about that. Call us if you want to play the news quiz on the air, 212-433-WNYC. We'll never ask you for money on the air when you call 212-433-9692. If you want to play, our next guest quizmaster is here. He is Peter Coy, economics editor at Business Week, and he's going to ask questions about that little thing in the news in 2008 known as the economy. Hey, Peter.
Hey, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
And thank you for coming on earlier in the year as a guest and helping explain all of this bizarre stuff. And let's go right to a caller here who is, let's see, who is waiting here?
Okay. Chairman.
Where are we? I think Douglas in White Plains, I think, was waiting the longest. Hi, Doug.
Hi, how are you?
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Ready to play the news quiz?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Peter Coy,
what you got for? Okay, what does TARP stand for, and how much in total TARP funds did Congress approve?
Right, when this whole crisis started in mid-September, Henry Paulson and them came out with the TARP. What does TARP stand for?
I'm blanking. I knew it at the time, memorized it, and now I've forgotten
Quick
it.
Clue, they're not really using it for this.
Yeah.
I'm a blank.
All right. Oh, well, no bragging rights for you at your New Year's Eve party.
Oh, well.
Happy New Year, though. Natan, near the Tappan Zee Bridge.
All right. Oh, well.
Do I have your name right?
What?
Do I have your name right?
Yes.
Natan, turn off your radio, okay? Because you're getting the delayed broadcast in the background there. And if you think it's hard to answer the questions when you're only hearing one stream of audio, when you're hearing yourself like 10 seconds later, then you're definitely not going to get any right. How you doing, Natan?
Good.
Okay. Ready for a question?
Hitting with the same question again?
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's the
same
question.
Okay, it's the same question. You're the second person to try it. What does TARP stand for, and how much in total TARP funds did Congress approve? Not counting the money allocated to WNYC.
Now. We're not on that list.
Could you repeat the question?
The question is
TARP. What does TARP stand for, and how much in total TARP funds did Congress approve?
I think I get this. Natan's a kid. Natan, how old are you?
Oh, same question?
Same question. Are you repeating the question for your mom? Is that what's going on here?
She's on the
cell phone.
Kinda. That's okay. The rules allow that. Encourage it,
that's
in
right.
fact. 11? Are you 11?
Yeah.
Okay, so we got that one right. So does your mom know the answer?
Well, could I have a different question? I'm only 11.
That excuse works for you, but it doesn't cut it for your mom.
Right.
So thank her for calling. And Natan, enjoy your New Year's break.
Okay, and this was the easy question, folks.
Okay, what we do is, generally, if a question stumps three callers in a row,
okay,
we give the answer and retire the question,
yeah,
as
right,
too difficult to bear.
Right.
So Michael in Montclair gets the final shot at what TARP stands for and how much it was. Hi, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Do you know it?
TARP stood for Troubled Assets Recovery Program.
Ooh. Close, so close.
Ooh. Oh, my producer says give it to you. See, my producer was tougher on the other guy who got Arkansas on the gay marriage thing. He didn't want me to give that one.
Give the producer a raise.
But I'm going to go with the producer's generosity here and say the Troubled Assets Recovery Program was close enough.
Troubled Assets Relief Program.
Relief, thank you.
And how much in total funds did Congress approve?
That would be $700 billion.
There you go.
Anybody who hasn't heard the $700 billion figure, I don't know where they've been.
Even though it hasn't all been released yet.
And is any of it actually being used?
Oh, yeah.
Peter Coy from Business Week to buy troubled assets, meaning bad mortgage loans?
So far, the money's been going to investing in banks, recapitalize them, but hasn't met its original purpose. Right?
So big banks can buy medium-sized banks, and medium-sized banks can buy smaller banks. Okay, next question.
Next question. 2008 will go down as one of the worst in stock market history. What was the worst year ever for the Dow Jones Industrial Average in terms of percentage decline?
All right.
Ooh, that would either be 29 or 81.
Okay. Both good guesses.
Then I'll go with
both
29.
Wrong.
29 is wrong. Michael, thank you very much. Happy New Year. And I guess we could say, as a hint to Dwight on Staten Island, who's our next player, that both his guesses were wrong.
That's right. That's a fair guess.
It was neither 29 nor 81. Hi, Dwight.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, worst year.
As a percentage drop, the worst year?
Worst year for the Dow as a percentage annual drop ever.
And it's not 2008.
It's not. This was the second.
87?
Sorry, Dwight. We're going to go one more here. George in Manhattan. George, do you know that worst year ever for the Dow in percentage terms?
1937.
Ooh.
Oh, another good guess.
Sorry, George. Okay. Reveal.
The answer is 1931 with a decline of 52.7%. And 2008 so far, we don't know what's going to happen today, of course, tomorrow, is 36% approximately year to date.
So if it goes down to 52%
it's going to be a really bad couple days.
Between now and when all the brokers are offered, it's not going to happen.
No.
Right? We can be fairly confident.
Okay.
Daniel in Cobble Hill, I'll bet you're glad that string of questioning is over with.
Oh, absolutely.
So you get
go back to the political impression.
Well, this political impression. You get a whole new category having nothing to do with Saturday Night Live. Actually, not a new category. We're still in the economy, but you get a whole new question. Peter?
Okay. I think we're going to start with a clip on this one.
The chairman of the serves at the appointment of the president, and in my view, has betrayed the public trust. If I were president today, I would fire him.
Okay, what agency was John McCain talking about there, and who was the chairman he said he would fire?
He wanted to fire Christopher Cox, the chairman of the Securities and Exchange Commission,
Excellent.
Which the president does not have the ability to do, actually.
Absolutely.
Perfect.
Right.
You get bonus for that last part of that answer.
I get what I can.
And to clarify that, the president does nominate the head of the Securities Exchange and Exchange Commission, but the president does not have the power to remove the head of the Securities and Exchange Commission. Who does, Peter? Would Congress have to do that?
I guess that would be it. The Senate confirms the SEC chair.
Don't ask me.
All right. Next question.
Okay. Very good. Let's see if you can handle this one. In October, Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson called a meeting with the CEOs of some of the largest banks in the country to begin the bailout process. Name four of the first nine banks who received federal TARP money.
In other words, that federal TARP money first shelled out to nine banks. Name any four of them.
All right. Let's see. Morgan Stanley, Bank of America, Citigroup, and Hail Mary, Merrill Lynch.
Very good. Well, that's four out of the nine. All right, excellent.
That was just three. Wait, four. That's four. That's great. And yeah, basically, because they're kind of the biggest banks in the country, if you just thought of banks,
you would come up with them.
You would probably come up with them.
That was my strategy, exactly.
Even though, until this all started, we probably wouldn't have thought of Morgan Stanley as a bank or
Merrill Lynch.
Chase yet. Merrill Lynch, no.
Right.
And some of them kind of changed their status to
bank holding companies.
So they could get our tax TARP money,
right?
Convenient reorganization.
Nice. Okay, so let's see. Is that two? Yeah, that's two. So he's one away.
Okay.
Give him one more.
Question. We're up to our fifth question now. Which state has the most companies slated to receive bailout money?
Ooh. Most in sheer numbers, not...
Right. Sheer numbers, not as a ratio or anything else.
Not as a percentage so of companies incorporated.
I'm going to go with the old standby Delaware.
Oh. Sorry. Came so close. If it was the most banks, that would have been a pretty good... If it was the most credit card companies,
yeah,
it definitely would have been the right guess. But Daniel, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
As we move on to Derek in Brooklyn. Hi, Derek.
Hey, Brian. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Did you hear that question? Do you get it?
I did, but I didn't hear what the caller said.
Okay. The caller said Delaware, which was wrong, to the question, which state has the most companies slated to receive bailout money?
I'm going to have to say, I want to say California, but I'm going to go with New York.
Oh, sorry, Derek.
New York is second place.
Second place. And Jody in Denville, don't think too much. What state would be slated to receive money to the most companies?
California.
California's right.
Oh, yes. The obvious choice is the correct one in this case.
By the way, that's the sound check SmackDown bell on loan. For those of you who recognize it. Now, when they say companies slated to receive bailout money, Peter Coy from Newsweek, Businessweek. Newsweek was the other guy.
Yeah.
Companies doesn't, the kinds of companies that can get the bailout money.
Financial institutions. And, you know, we're talking now about GMAC getting money. That's a General Motors Acceptance Corporation, which makes loans to car dealers and car buyers. So Paulson's idea is this is supposed to be to help financial institutions, not help the general economy. And that's part of the debate between him and Congress.
But aren't they also buying some what they call commercial paper, which is debt from different kinds of companies than banks, or is that...
Right.
Something else.
And I don't know how that would count as companies here from the list we have.
Right. Anyway, with one word out of her mouth, Jody is one-third of the way to being a end-of-year news scholar here. Jody, Happy New Year, first of all.
Happy New Year, Brian.
You ready for another financial question?
Yes.
We're still on the bailout here, Peter.
Okay, which major financial institution did Congress not bail out?
U.S. Stearns.
Well, you know, that's an interesting answer because Congress did not bail out Bear Stearns, and yet Bear Stearns was saved through the Federal Reserve. So we're not going to count that as a no answer, as a wrong answer.
We're going to pass on that.
I think give her another chance.
Okay.
Because this is, I mean, there are millions of companies that didn't get bailed out by Congress.
I'll just say which financial institution did Congress most famously not bail out?
That's a good way to phrase it, yeah.
Which? What was the question again?
Which financial institution did Congress... most famously not bailout.
Which financial institution?
And which one later failed as a result of not being bailed out?
Not much later.
Oh, Lehman Brothers.
There we go. Bing.
Bing. I don't have my gonger handy, so a virtual ging. Ding. Now, it announced for bankruptcy at 1 a.m. on September 15th, and its shares tumbled over 90% that same day, and that's really the day that we consider the beginning of the financial crisis. But Peter, Barclays then acquired a portion of Lehman, right?
Right. A lot of people had a seamless transition from Lehman to Barclays in the same building on 7th Avenue. Their lives didn't change a whole lot. The Lehman shareholders got a hit. The shares almost entirely wiped out.
So why did its fall spark the crisis if Barclays actually acquired it?
It wasn't – the employees were saved, but a lot of the obligations of Lehman, were bad. A lot of the credit counterparty risk, everybody suddenly froze up. They're afraid that they're not going to make good on their obligations.
All right. Jody's two-thirds of the way there. Next question.
Question. Name two of the four states that lead the nation in foreclosures.
Two of the four states that lead the nation in the number of foreclosures.
Nevada.
Is one.
And California.
Very good. Ding. There we go.
Jody from Denville, you are a 2008 News Scholar for the Brian Lehrer Show. You have bragging rights at your New Year's Eve party. And hang on, and we'll get your address, and we'll send you our limited edition, now a collector's item, Brian Lehrer Show, 30 Issues in 30 Days, 2008, Eco Tote. Okay?
Thank you. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you, Jody. Congratulations. All right. Right on to Jason in Norwalk. Hi, Jason.
Hi.
Ready for a question?
Sure.
Peter Coy from Businessweek.
In September, mortgage-buying giants Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were placed under government conservatorship after the Treasury Department found, quote, pervasive weaknesses across the board, end quote. Who made the following statement 2 months before that? And I'm not going to attempt the accent because that would give it away.
That's a hint.
I think this is a case where Fannie and Freddie are fundamentally sound. They are not in danger of going under. They're not the best investment these days from the long-term standpoint going back. I think they are in good shape going forward. They're in the housing market. I do think their prospects going forward are very solid.
Nice. 2 months before Fannie and Freddie had to be bailed out. Who said that, Jason in Norwalk?
Oh, I think it's Bush W.
Okay, it was not Bush W, but is this where the hint comes in? Okay, we're going to give you
right.
An audio hint. Now you have to listen really close because this is very webby audio. So
okay.
Everybody just take a good close listen to this and see if you can figure out who it was.
I think this is a case where Fannie and Freddie are fundamentally sound, but they are not in danger of going under. They're not the best investments these days from the long-term standpoint going back. I think they're in good shape going forward.
Jason, you got one shot at that.
It is very webby.
All right, nice try.
Okay.
Well, Bernanke is wrong.
Thanks
for trying. Happy New Year. Dan and Fishkill, did you hear that audio?
Yes, I did, Brian. Happy New Year. And I didn't think you said it, but it sounded like Barney Frank.
Yeah.
Sure was Barney Frank.
Right.
Absolutely. How embarrassing.
Yeah.
For Barney Frank, who was long a champion of Freddie and Fannie.
Right, yeah.
And chairman of the House Financial Services Committee. He's been doing so much to say what he thinks the solution should be to the crisis, but he sure got that part wrong.
Yeah. Well, he was, as you said, a long-term champion of those two firms and wanted them to make insure and buy more loans in order to promote housing for all, and didn't quite work out the way we'd all hoped.
All right. That is one right for Dan and Fishkill. Next question.
Okay. Which baseball team owning family lost money in the Madoff scandal?
Ooh.
Baseball team owning family. And not the owners of the Red Sox. Not the owners of the Cubs. They're losing money very well on their own. They're losing money very well on their own, thank you. They don't need Madoff to go into bankruptcy.
Yep, and I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Happy New Year.
Thanks
to you
for
both.
Trying. Happy
thank
New
you.
Year. Andy in Great Neck, you know that baseball team-owning family who lost money in the Madoff scheme?
Yes, it's the Wilpons of my beloved Mets.
If anybody in Great Neck doesn't know who owns the Mets, boy, oh, boy. Okay, that's one for Andy. Peter, go.
Very good.
We're running
out. Where's the bell?
Oh, wait a minute. Listen.
Up and drink the Mets. Bring your kiddies. Bring your wife. Guaranteed to have the time of your life.
Step right up and bilk the Mets. Okay. Peter, go ahead.
Okay, another Madoff question. Which Holocaust Survivors Foundation also lost money after investing it with Bernard Madoff?
I believe that's the Shapiro's.
Ooh, that is wrong. Now, of course, I don't know if the Shapiros had a Holocaust survivor and a foundation. Actually,
yeah, can't rule that.
I'm gonna give you a clue. Which Nobel Peace Prize winning Holocaust survivors foundation?
I understand. That's the Spielberg Foundation.
Oh, Spielberg has done many great things.
Including supporting survivors of the Holocaust, yes. But he was not a survivor. So
he did not win the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's true, too.
All right, you know what? We're out of time. So we're going to have to give this answer, which was?
Elie Wiesel.
The Elie Wiesel Foundation for Humanity lost $15.2 million. I've actually seen different numbers. I saw another report that said it was closer to $37 million that the Wiesel organization lost. What we have in front of us says $15 million. But there it is. No news quiz prize for you. These economy questions were tough. A lot more people got the presidential election questions right and won the 2008 30 Issues in 30 Days Eco Tote.
It was fun, though.
But it was fun. Peter Coy, economics correspondent for Business Week, economics editor at Business Week. I have a feeling we'll be talking maybe a few times in 2009, don't you?
Let's hope it's about better things, though.
And there we go. And still to come, two more guest quizmasters. Dominic Carter from New York One will be here to do the local portion of the quiz, the New York portion. And we will have musician Steve Earle, and that's going to be fun. He's even going to play something as a musical quiz question. So stay with us as our end of the year news quiz continues here on WNYC. Were you paying attention in 2008?